Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. In Iran now, where on Sunday, a powerful earthquake struck near the border region with Iraq. Over 400 people have been reported dead and thousands more injured in the earthquake. The full extent of the damage is not yet known, but seismologists are putting the preliminary magnitude of the quake at 7.3. Thomas Erdbrink is the Tehran bureau chief for The New York Times.
This region is like one of the most western regions of Iran. It's actually almost on the border with Iraq. And this is like a patchwork of farmlands with some relatively big cities around. You can imagine all the pictures, Todd. I mean, cars under rubble, buildings collapsed or half collapsed. And what I'm just looking at is people actually roaming the street asking for help, because as it seems until this point is that Iran's rescue effort has not completely come fully underway. And people are criticizing this.
Iran had an awful experience in 2003 with a massive earthquake in Banj that killed 20,000 people or more. The public reaction that you're hearing must be remembering that earthquake.
Absolutely. And of course, Iran is a country very prone to earthquake. There are literally dozens of fault lines under Iran, and there is an earthquake almost every day somewhere in the country. They're just rarely as big as the one that we saw last night that had buildings shook all the way up to Tehran. And even in the region, in the Middle East, people felt the earthquake. This was a very deep underground, but still managed to destroy at least that one city, Saripol Zahab, and also some other Iranian cities. The death count until now is almost 350 people dead. And surprisingly enough, only 10 dead on the other side of the border in Iraq. But that, of course, has to do with the geography of the area. Iran is a modern country. There's more cities. The population is bigger. And especially in that area in Iraq where the earthquake took place, there's actually very few inhabitants in that particular area.
And Thomas, you're covering this story from a distance from Tehran. Is that right? I understand that you have not been allowed to travel to the earthquake zone. So a lot of the reporting here on the extent of the damage has to either rely on others or be somewhat speculative.
I believe that this also highlights the complications of doing journalism in Iran. All foreign correspondents are actually only allowed to work inside the capital, Tehran. And if they want to travel outside of the capital, they need special permissions from the Ministry of Islamic Guidance and Culture, let's say the press ministry. Usually in the case of national disaster, these kind of permits are waived and we are allowed to travel to the disaster-stricken zones. But this time around, we aren't, and we were told to wait for a tour to be organized by the Ministry of Interior that might take us at some point to the area where the earthquake struck. And of course, there we will only be allowed to see what the government here wants us to see.
Well, Thomas, does that mean we can rely on the current figures of people dead from the government? Does the government in Iran have a track record of being honest in cases like this?
That is very hard to say. Overall, the power of social media is very great in Iran as well. And if the number of dead would be significantly higher, there would be lots of witnesses on social media pointing in that direction. I'm not getting that at this point. But it's clear is that still a lot of people remain under rubble and the search and rescue operations are still going on. Now, the death toll has risen quite sharply during the night. This might increase even further depending on what they find under the rubble.
Thomas Erdbrink with The New York Times in Tehran. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Todd.